Good afternoon. It is Monday, January 13th at 2:32 p.m. We're in the public meeting room, Stroy County Administration Building, and we're just beginning the budget work session for FY21 for information technology. So first I'd like to ask everybody to state their name and position for the record, and we'll start up here first. Linda Merkin, Chair of Board of Supervisors.
Laura Solson, Board of Supervisors.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Lisa Heddens, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Wigdahl, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor.
And Barb Steinbeck, IT Director.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to just say a couple things and then we'll start with you, Barb. But as you know, the Board's primarily responsible to fund mandated services. We also fund many other very important services to county employees and county residents. Purpose of the budget sessions is that we obtain information to help us prioritize our use of taxpayer funds. And it's your opportunity to explain to us the value of the services you're providing, which you've got listed in this budget, to county government in general and county residents. And we're going to ask you to address first your projected revenues and then your expenditures and explain any difference in trends. And in terms of operating, we've asked that all offices and departments continue to lower expenses when they can, streamline operations, and to not increase operating expenses unless that's justified by either a current expenditure rate or known increases. And I believe this board has done a very good job of understanding that things can come up during a fiscal year that are unanticipated. And when that happens, we welcome and expect department heads to come to us and say, where you are and whether you can make that up within your budget or whether you need some help on that. And I think the board's done a very good job of supporting departments there, and that's a very good way to budget because we have that mutual trust. We know that we're not having to, levy more than we need to what's anticipated to get through the year, but you also know that the board will support you if you have need for more funds that you weren't able to anticipate and increase. And I believe I can speak for the entire board that we desire to continue operating that way. And you don't have any new personnel requests, correct?
No.
Okay. So we shouldn't have any problem getting through your budget today. What we'd like to do is, if we have questions, to ask you those questions right when you're on that line item rather than waiting until we get to the end and we've probably forgotten the question or whatever. So if that's all right with you.
That makes sense.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you to go line by line so we don't get lost on the form as well. And let's see. Thankfully, we can work efficiently and get through that. I'm going to ask the other supervisors, do you have anything that you would like to say? I know Laura's got
it. I do not at this time.
Okay.
When we met with Lisa Markley last Monday morning to get the first fiscal year 21 projection, she let us know that if there were no new tax askings, in other words, if we ask for exactly the same dollar amount as we did last for this current fiscal year, there is a gap of about $3 million between what we anticipate, or she anticipated right at that point of revenues, versus what everybody had asked for. Now, that's about $1.6 or $7 million in actual gap, if you will, new revenue. And there was the rest of it's probably already in people's various special funds. Okay, so we're not broke, all right? It's just the initial ask versus the initial estimate.
Barbara, when we look at your budget, received and used year to date is at 50% of the year, so we're halfway through the year, just so you have that information that's in front of you, where we're actually at.
There any other comments before Barb starts? Barb, take it away.
Well, I wanted to start with the revenues and what we've done here and what we've done traditionally in the past. We haven't raised the rates, but we do charge back the assessor for server and storage use. And then we also charge the engineers for network and storage use. So that's where you'll see the total of $9,600. We did last year have sold some hardware and earned $200. So this year we're still at $9,600. We do donate used hardware to the different charities, and then whatever's left over we do sell in auction. So, you know, we're lucky if we get $20 for a computer or a laptop, but that's some additional revenue. If you that can't be counted on, but these are hard figures that come in.
Okay. Bob, could you please remind me why it is you charge to the secondary roads department?
Part of that is the DOT funding that they receive. Okay. So part of that then is turned back to the county in network use and things like that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we are year to date, it looks high, but that's because the engineer and county assessor pay up front, like in July. The city assessor pays monthly. So we have six more months with the city assessor, which puts us right at 9,600.
And just to clarify, the city assessor, they share some of our Tyler products, so they do have a connection here that we charge them $300 for a month. So would you like me to go through the detail or through the summary?
So
I think the detail would be...
Usually usually the board wants to start at office supplies, but I have a question on your taxable fringe benefit line item, if you don't mind, please.
Okay.
Your request is for $4,000 in that taxable fringe. You're trending at $3,500, and that's about, unless, were you looking at increases? Were you looking at additional... cell phones or any cell phone allowances or anything like that?
I didn't think I was to put a dollar figure under the fringe benefits.
So you don't have a problem with me going back to $35.50
No.
On that?
No.
Okay.
No. And now is the on-call pay part, if they had an on, is that included under the taxable fringe benefits?
No.
Okay.
Salary.
No, I think $4,000 is fine.
$4,500. $3,550, sorry. For both. Reestimating too. You're going to be estimating.
Okay.
It's $450, but, you know, $450. Okay, then it's the board's pleasure, but usually we're going to start, like, down at office supplies, then probably.
I think that's fine. Anybody else?
For office supplies, we reestimated this year because we had some stuff. It's kind of a cycle where one year you spend more and then you have leftovers, so the next year you don't spend as much. So we're anticipating $500 for this year, and that would include some paper that we're getting low on, office supplies, some cleaning supplies, and things like that. Under the media supplies, under data processing supplies, and sometimes there's a little overlap between office and data processing supplies, so we're going to try to be more careful that only the paper and the pens and the cleaning are under office, and that the media supplies are kept under the data processing supplies. We did purchase a lot of cable, so I brought that number half is what it was last year. Justin mentioned we do need to resupply our tools, so we've kept that at $300. Sometimes when you're working on something, a screwdriver gets left, and then you go back and it's gone. So we've kept that a little bit of an increase over what we reestimated, but I think once we get everything in, then next year we'll be able to bring that number down a little.
And I just want to make the comment, you've got hardware question mark on cable supplies. On your misplaced cable hardware question mark.
Oh, I guess that was more for my own benefit. I'm sorry.
Well,
I was wondering, should it be under hardware?
No, it honestly shouldn't. If it's under $500, then typically you're going to pay for your cables and all that here.
Okay.
And that would also be an explanation for why there's nothing spent this year. Because I know you've bought some, but it's come out of hardware.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Under data processing software, the only new ask is for some software that would give us better visibility into our Cisco switches. So many times we'll have an issue and Kyle will have to go in there and look at all the config rather than have an audit log come up and say this is the problem, kind of how they do the diagnostics on a car. So Cisco has various products. They range anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000. We thought the $5,000, the low end, would probably be a good place to start on that. And this would also tell us, too, sometimes when we plug in a port or plug in a phone to the switch, it doesn't work. Well, we don't know that that port hasn't been configured for a switch or for a phone. So this will help give us better visibility into what's going on with our switches and our firewalls. The next line under facilities, they've asked to replace the badge software, and they're going to use a product called Access. This will give them, right now it's kind of clunky the way they have to run the badges, so they've looked at this product and I think it'll help. And I think $2,000 for that is a pretty good estimate. Under fiber optics, we have the Great Plains locating services. They charge $250 a month. There's not a lot we can do about this. That's so we pay for when there's digging or anything, they go out and do locates to make sure that they don't dig up our network.
Again.
Uh-huh. Well, and, you know, part of that, so whenever somebody goes out to dig, they have to contact Mediacom, Windstream, CenturyLink, the whole bunch, and then they come out and mark. Well, a lot of times they don't, which happened to us on Old 30 twice last year, where Windstream didn't mark. So,
yep.
I don't know. That's something that we complain about, but they've had a lot of turnover there, and whenever we call, they don't know what we're talking about. So it's been stressful, I guess. Hopefully that's all done and we're on the upside for that. Iowa One Call, we do split that with the ICN half and half, so I'm just predicting $600 this year. And the Windstream Paytech connection, this is the connection that our 911 runs on between here and Ames. And that we split with the 911. It is a 20-year contract because we don't think we'll ever not need that. So it does automatically renew, and I believe we're in year 5 of that 20-year contract. Under postage and handling, we're anticipating. So the RMAs, sometimes they run 30, sometimes they run 50. We're anticipating about $50 next year. And this is for returning equipment that the vendor won't pay for us to return. A lot of times that's a hard drive that doesn't work, a network card that's bad, things that we need to get replaced, but they want to see the old equipment first. Employee mileage for personal car use, they've set that at 200. That is, we've re-estimated this year to be 150. I think that's probably a pretty good number.
Now, where did you get the 50
yeah.
cents?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too.
Is it 50 cents a mile is what we reimburse employees?
So the sheriff's communication about coming down from the IRS rate being different, we're not all doing the same reimbursement
rate? We do
rate.
50 cents countywide. That's the approved countywide reimbursement rate
for
mileage.
So the sheriff changes his annually to go with the federal IRS
yeah.
rate.
What he charges.
What he charges.
What employee reimbursement.
But we're talking employee reimbursement because he's charging other places.
Yeah.
For
thank
that.
You. Okay.
It's never just employees.
All right. Yeah. Got it. We've been at 50 cents for.
Yeah. And one of the reasons that I don't bring forward to the board to change that annually is because if you go over the federal rate, then you have to tax them on that. So
yeah,
so if we stay at 50 cents, which we've determined is fair, then odds are we're not going to go over the federal rate, which is 57.5 this year.
Thank you for seeing that memo in the packet tomorrow.
Right.
I was thinking that's what he was also reimbursing.
No,
okay.
No.
Thank you. Sorry, Barb, back to you.
Are we done to communication services now?
Yes.
Okay, so Central Iowa Broadband, this is big increase over last year because we did increase our connection to 1 gig, and that's for the internet, which is about $12.60 a month. They are still very reasonable. And then we have the Arion. This is new. We upgraded the connection at HSC, replacing the CenturyLink connection. However, the cost is the same, the $4,800. On the mobile hotspot, we have a MiFi device in the IT go bag so that if we're out and about and don't have a good connection, we can still use this to remote in and resolve issues. The 100 meg backup link from Ames to Nevada, this is through HSC, that's at $600 a month, so that'd be $7,200 a year. Network connection, the animal control tower, you notice that is zero because that's in this year's budget, although it may not get done until next year. The tower is supposed to be delivered sometime this week, and then the vendor has asked if he can wait till spring to install the tower, since obviously it's going to be really cold and there's frost in the ground and it has to have a cement baseboard. So I did put zero there, but I wanted you to be aware that that probably will be something that happens in FY21. And then under communication, I also included the monthly charges for IT phones, which is $3,500 a year. About a little over $300 a month. The next one, data processing services. Now, this is the MAPS-G, the multi-agency group. We split it out, charging between CAD and RMS. Not a lot we can do with that. The City of Ames goes through and gets the invoices and then splits out what each entity owes. So it's ISU, City of Ames, and Story County all pay the same amount. Education and training. I try to make my try to encourage my staff to take at least one class a year, and the cost keeps going up on that. And we're also we also pay to the users groups. We have the Iowa State something of counties, is it Association of Counties, mm-hmm. And then the IT Equal. It's the IT answer to the ISAC. And then Central Square, we have to pay for that, and then the Des Moines Area User Group. So that adds up to about $1,400 a year.
So on tomorrow's agenda, we have the contract for something called Skill Set.
Yes.
Okay. So is that, it appeared to be IT-related training software. All right. So is that something that you're purchasing this year? I did notice if we buy it 1 year, we get the next 2 years for free.
Yes.
So my question is a paperwork processing kind of thing. Lisa, should that be included in here with a zero at it and some note that we've got 2 years of, you know, that it's free this year, but it will renew again in 2 more years?
Is it in your current year budget?
It's taking the place of one of the class that Daryl was going to take, and he's no longer here. So, and we've had skill sets in the past. I discontinued it. I wasn't real happy with what they offered. It seemed like some of their classes were like two versions behind, like on the Windows Server portion of it. They've really upped their game, and they gave me a preview of some of the classes they're offering, and I was impressed. Still didn't say yes, and then they offered, you know, the buy 1 year, get 2 years free. So I thought that was a pretty good deal, and that would take the place of one of the classes that I had budgeted for.
Okay. All right.
It was a similar amount.
Got it. Okay. Yes. So next year it'll show up as a zero freebie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I did include the Central Square Conference. Went last year. It was very valuable. We're meeting with the multi-agency group, and there's a lot of discontent going on right now with Central Square, and it looks like we may not be with them for long. So they did suggest that perhaps the NENA conference that the Sheriff's Office goes to with a lot more cybersecurity emphasis might be a better conference to go to. That's later in June, so I kept the placeholder in there. It might not be Central Square. It might be NENA.
Throughout the year, how many conferences do you go to where it may be you find other
Story County departments or offices attending also?
Just one.
Okay.
Last year was the first time. So, and I find it is very beneficial then to do the after class discussions. Mm-hmm. And how did you like it? What did you think? What was your take? That was really, because when you get back in the office setting, sometimes you don't find the time to talk like that, or you've forgotten things, or maybe you didn't want to say anything because you didn't think anybody else thought the same. So I find that part of it is very valuable.
Sure.
As well.
Okay.
Equipment rent and maintenance. So this includes all the software that we use. And I mentioned earlier, a lot of the products, especially Tyler, are doing a 3-5% increase. I don't know how you can increase software like that, but since it's an integral part of our daily duties, I did ask Tyler if they could revisit that. They have said that they would. I'm not sure. We haven't seen anything yet. So I did put in the quoted cost for that, but I don't think I need to go through line by line unless you have a question about a specific software. We do include our security certificates and our domain registrations. You'll see under the S's all the Story County domain and certificates there.
I just had one, and it's down under Board of Supervisors, and it's Leanne and I, and you're still paying for, it looks like, the entire Adobe Creative Suites
yes.
on my desktop. And is there any way that the packaging has changed on that? It just seems really expensive to pay for everything on my desktop, given I pay personally for it on my laptop, the whole Creative Suites. And I think I've used another program besides Adobe Pro, you know, or Acrobat Pro once or twice in the whole last year. So we certainly could reduce that down if you want to just get me the Pro instead. I mean, it just, but we, at the time when we bought it, it was cheaper
yes.
to buy the whole suite than
yes.
it was to just parse out two or three. But I'm finding, especially with Leanne bringing on interns, and et cetera, I'm not needed for the type of backup we thought with, like, getting Photoshop, et cetera. So
you just prefer, like, Adobe Professional?
Yeah. The Acrobat, yeah. And
sorry, no. Because if I do need even to get on Photoshop or... We were doing the camera, you know, also. And she's switched programs, even how she's editing the audio now, or the video now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just really no use anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Have you used Adobe Professional before?
No. And in fact, see, I'm still getting, like I said, I pay personally for the whole creative
sure.
suite. But I'm just thinking... I'm used to using is it the Acrobat Pro is the part that is, I think, hooked into Creative Suites.
I'll have to double check on that.
Check.
And
just
see if this is what you need, because I know,
okay.
Like the county attorneys, they want it just so they can edit Adobe Acrobat documents.
That's what I'm using.
That's what we
That's
we
what,
have
yeah.
one on the intern computer, and I think Todd's is
yeah.
in here.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
it's
yeah,
not a one-time
so
fee, though, to do that, Barb.
But yeah.
Yes, unless so you do a subscription.
Yeah, so the one-time, I mean, there's a one-time $300 fee to get that. So.
And maybe that's where you want to roll that over. It's just, we're paying right now for things that I'm not using, and, yeah.
Yeah, if you look under the county attorneys, they have the professional subscription
yeah.
for 15 users at $2,000. I think that is a little, then they automatically get all the updates for that. So
that might be, okay.
It's a little more cost effective to do a subscription.
Okay.
And then there's not a lot of troubleshooting or installation involved. So we can revisit that. I've made a note.
Whatever you decide is best.
Right. Okay. Okay. Any other questions under the software?
You've already passed the animal control.
I'm sorry.
Critter control, yes.
I love that.
It is, and we didn't know what to call it. Exactly. So when I did this budget, we just had the review of the Shelter Pro last week and just got pricing. So, of course, this was a guess, and they didn't know what to call the software. And I said, well, what is it doing? And controlling our critters. I said, well, let's just call it critter control software. So that's why that's in there. But I think they really liked Shelter Pro, and it will do – it will keep them organized, and it will do a lot of what they need. And, yes, it is a little more expensive than this. I think the software package itself is $2,300, and we budgeted $2,000 for it. And then the maintenance, I believe, is $1,400.
You need to change that to $1,400.
Yeah, so we'll need to change this one to $1,400.
$200 to $1,400?
Yes.
The $200 to $1,400, right? Under the
correct.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
I like the name Critter Control, actually.
And we'll call it Shelter Pro.
Shelter Pro, okay.
And they're still looking to make that purchase this fiscal year, right, Barb? When we talked about it.
Okay.
To get that out of.
We just got the quote, so it's not.
So they've got $2,000 budgeted for that this year.
Get
them
for a cheap. Anything else under software?
I just want to note something. The Cisco SmartNet maintenance went from $30,000 to $10,000. Did you want to?
Where did you see that?
It's the second line under IT.
Yeah. So that's for 70 devices. They charge us per device. If you don't pay their SmartNet maintenance, your switches don't work.
So it was reduced by $20,000.
Yes. And that's part of the software I mentioned earlier to give us better insight into the switches, but they have done some better cost control on that. So, yeah, it was there was one company that did actually reduce their licensing. And what we've been doing recently when we buy hardware is we buy the first year maintenance with it so that we do have five switches we're going to replace this year. So that'll bring – that's what part of that is brought down. Are we ready to move to page 135?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about, and this is on the bottom of 134, the this is mental health. So in the past, we've estimated what? I guess we have to get a firm number on this. We thought there were four, and now I think Carla said there are actually five. Is that what you got, Lisa?
Yes.
Five users? So my question is, and I made a note that anytime there's a computer replacement for those named people that it will be coming out of that budget, should we be charging the phones back under mental health for those five individuals?
We do.
Oh, you do? Okay, because we don't split it out.
No, it if you look at the phone...
The claim. Yeah.
It's split out.
Okay. I just didn't
the way
know.
My understanding is the way Carla had agreed to it, how it should be. Yeah.
Would you like it split out here on my budget spreadsheet is what I'm asking.
Oh, the
does
phone?
It make a difference?
No.
Okay.
No, because it's coming out of their budget.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're still in trying to actually determine because I think the computers were actually bought last year.
Right.
So they're not going
there's
to be able to be moved, quote unquote.
Thank you. That's sorry.
They're not going to be able to be moved, quote unquote. So
okay.
So let's go forward. And yeah.
So what we're going to do is for all hardware installations for mental health. Just to backtrack a little, usually we buy a lot of our hardware in the spring because that's when the vendors offer some good pricing and things have slowed down a little bit for us and we're getting ready for the new year. So a lot of times we'll buy the hardware in May or June of this FY and then install them after July 1st. So that's where we ran into problems with mental health. We purchased it last year but didn't install it till this year. So we've made a note on our inventory sheets that anything going for mental health, like we're going to do monitors, should be installed in the same year it was purchased. So that'll help a little with that confusion.
Or at least make sure it gets coded right going on.
Yes.
And does the 300 change since you said there's five instead of four?
Yes.
So that will increase?
So this should be, I think last year we paid about $300, so we should increase that. We've always in the past budgeted $430 and never used it all. So I re-estimated this year to be $300. I think that will catch it.
Do you think that catches all five at $300?
Yes, because it's only one additional person, and it's like $12 for a server account.
Gotcha, gotcha, okay.
And then they use Office 365 for their some of their email. So
sure.
I think $300 should catch that.
Okay, okay.
Under contract labor, we do have to rent a converter box for our Windstream connection. I'm anticipating half of a year. It's about $45 for each. We have two devices, so that's almost $100 a month. I'm anticipating we won't need it more than 6 months next year. And this ties back into the Windstream connection where we're trying to migrate all the fax lines and the POTS lines off of there so we don't have to pay for a full T1. If you need a fax line, you know, get a plain old telephone line, and then we can split those numbers off. If there are some phone numbers on that invoice that we want to keep, we'll probably have to port those over to Arion so that we can keep within the 7,200, 7,300, and 7,400 range for our phone numbers. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought Linda looked a little like, what are you talking about kind of thing. Okay, good. It's just been a long day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Environmental health has approached us. They would like to do some kind of a software review. So right now, Matt Corey has written a program that we try to keep people away from that. It's called SIP, where they can go out in the field and document information and then push it up into their documents so they have that information. Margaret was worried that, you know, maybe this wasn't probably a good practice and maybe things might change in the future. Who knows? None of us know if we're going to be here tomorrow. So we did look at a couple software packages. We're not sure that there's anything pre-made out there that will serve the need. So I put in $25,000 as a placeholder simply because, if you recall, the jail software that was, I had to have that for my own peace of mind, have it reviewed for security reasons and written and put in a better format so that editing could be traceable and done more logically. So we would like to do the same thing with this project. And $25,000 is what we paid to have the jail software done, so we haven't gotten any quotes yet. That's just a guesstimate.
Is this program currently being used by the Environmental Health Department?
Yes.
Okay. Who did they get permission from?
They've been doing that for ever since
Matt
Corey.
Years, and I think Matt Corey signed it over to the county.
Okay, it's been a formally signed over.
I don't have that document. But
see, we need to get that. I mean, after the mess we went through over at the jail. Lilith, you've known about this?
It's been. I think it's been longer than I've been over in the board's office.
Okay. Yeah, it's been.
I mean,
and it just started as
program.
I think so.
It started as a little database, and it just.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought they had done something to. I could be wrong.
Okay, so we need to verify it signed over. And then Barb, as far as is it interacting like the jail program? Is it interacting with other programs and systems? So it's a standalone.
It is.
So, okay,
it
well,
is.
That makes me feel better.
Yes.
Okay.
And Matt is fully willing to cooperate and do anything it takes. He's willing to turn it over, so there's no problem.
All right, super. Thank you for that.
I also put in under the next line some money for a security audit. We did one maybe 4 years ago. I think it's good practice to do one about every 5 years, make sure we're on the right track, especially since all our hacker friends are targeting hospitals and government as far as ransomware. We don't want to be paying ransomware, and I want to make sure that we're covered. I do understand that no matter what we do, we still have the users, which is one of our weak points, and I would like to emphasize user training a little more next year. We did have some software that we used. Were we using Novi for when you came here, Lisa?
Might have.
So what that was is it was a software that randomly sent out spam messages to try to trick people into clicking on links. And when you did, you know, the thing would pop up and say, oh, you clicked on the link and now you have to do this training. Well, what we found out was nobody would do the training. And so we felt it wasn't, you know, worth the county's dollar to have that software. What I would like to propose and maybe review this with the rest of the management team at one of the next management meetings is, can we have buy-in from the directors and the managers to force, you know, we do get a list of people that didn't do the training. Can they make it mandatory that their staff do this training? Because I think it's very valuable for them to do. And, you know, why did you click on that link? What did you think? Well, here's why you shouldn't have, and here's what to look for kind of thing. We did some of the training. It was very helpful, very, very good stuff.
I know, was it before Christmas, there was something that came via NAP to DESCO?
Yes.
Okay, so I think most of us got, but, and that turned out, you know, it was bogus, et cetera, but so is there some kind of cheat sheet about top 5 to 10 that we could also remind employees of about it? I caught it because I looked at the actual email, the email that
the link
it came from.
Oh,
no,
sure.
I looked up at the sender and pulled up, and it wasn't Steve Goodhue's NAP to DESCO one. And I went, okay, this is spam. And then I, okay. But like a tip like that. So I'd hate to have to make some employee have to go through the training, and it turns out that it was from someone they legitimately would have clicked on. You know what I'm saying? Is it, are there some other keys? I guess I learned a long time ago if it looks even the least bit fishy, see what that actual return address or
you're saying
there.
The training comes because you send out something that's bogus.
It's
and
because
they
you
should have known it was bogus. There were
if you opened an attachment or clicked on a link, then the training.
Oh, okay, so
then the link to the training. And one thing we've done to help circumvent people so they can, like if you saw something, Barb Steinbeck at StrayCounty.com, but it said external sender at the top,
mm-hmm.
then you would know that's not me. So we try to insert the external sender, and that
mm-hmm.
is what the Exchange server filters out. So that's one step we've tried to do.
Okay.
There's not a lot you can do.
I know for us to access state software, we all have to go through the training. I think ICIO, it's free, but you, I mean, it's
sure.
time. It's called Securing the Human.
Yes, I'm familiar with that.
The graphics are pretty cheesy, but it's good information.
I think we did click on that and thought the graphics were like from the 50s, but it was good information.
We had a lively conversation about that, but in our office. But it's a requirement that the state makes us all go through to access their software. So just as a
it's a good
possible resource.
Sure. Yeah, and I've got the name of those contacts. So we did do the training as a group in IT, and like you said, that the graphics were a little cheesy, but it had some good information.
Yeah.
And we do participate with the state of Iowa in what they call their FireEye appliance, and we maybe get 3 emails a day. Hey, you know, this IP address is trying to reach this. Is this okay? For example, last week we installed a new phone, and of course it reached out to LightEdge to get the config for the phone. All of a sudden, I get a phone call. Hey, you've got an IP address that's reaching out, trying to contact somebody else. What's going on? And I said, well, let me check. What's the IP address? So I checked her. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's trying to contact LightEdge because it wants to register a new phone. But they keep on top of that. So that's kind of a crutch that we have that we really appreciate, more insight into our network. But we did... So the security audit, the last time we did it cost $25,000, and I see a potential cost savings here. Keith Morgan told me that DHS does this for free. So we did go through, and he sent us a matrix where we are supposed to number everything in the matrix by how important we feel it is to us. And then his contact at DHS was called out of the country, so we're going to be meeting with him probably in February. But I kept the $25,000 in there because whatever he does or whatever he finds, it may cost us money to resolve. And it may not be $25,000, but I thought I would keep it there as a placeholder. Hopefully it won't be that much. Or if he can't help us and has a different idea of what we need, then I would like to go explore the options for a security audit and maybe even some pen testing, penetration testing, to see where our weaknesses are and what we can do to improve. And then I did include layer 3 licensing for the core switches at $7,500. What this will do for us, and it's not something we can install, that's why it's under contract labor. We'd probably have to have IP Pathways install this for us. But so here's an example. Over at the Sheriff's Office, we do have the 1 gig connection. However, our phones are not capable of 1 gig. So for some certain individuals in the county attorney's office who need to download those large WatchGuard videos, they need to have a separate switch that their phone is plugged into, that's plugged into the other switch, so that they can take advantage of that 1 gig capability. This just adds too much intricacy to our network. We can't see the phones on the other end of that little mini switch in order to troubleshoot or to see if they're even up or to download the latest licensing version. So this layer 3 licensing will give us the ability to do that, and then our phones will all be able to achieve that 1 gig capability of our network. So our computers plug into our phones, which plug into the switch. So none of us are getting that 1 gig capability unless we have the little mini switch, which we don't want to do for everybody because it's like $70 to $100 per phone.
So this will take care of that. Then everybody will have the 1 gig.
Yes. It's another way for Cisco to offer something, but it does come cheap. Are we ready to move down to the next section? So conservation is proposing a new position. So the $1,000 would be for a new computer, a new licensing monitor, and then I have $300 for the phone. All the departments, for the desktops, we do a 5-year rotation on our desktops. So we estimate about $750 per PC. We don't always replace the monitors at the same time. We try to get a little more use out of them than 5 years, but we are making sure that we get rid of the smaller 19 and 22-inch monitors. And then on the next line, I have monitors. 10 of them usually we go through a year with break fix, and they can range anywhere between $175 and $250, depending on what sales we can get. So I've put in $2,000 for that. There will be 5 laptops that are up for the 5-year rotation, 2 tablets, and then I always put in a little bit for VoIP phones. When CLP went away, we did have some excess phones. However, we're going through those using them quite rapidly. So we're figuring maybe we'll have to replace 2 phones next year. County attorneys, anticipating some additional staff. So
these are also additional staff. This is not for exchange.
Pardon?
This is for the request, the county attorney's name?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I didn't hear the first part of what you said.
Yeah, I don't know, have they gone already? They have.
Yes.
So they're asking for additional staff, so I included hardware for that, additional staff. They think one person will need a laptop, one will need a computer, and then one tablet is to replace the one they're already using that Latifah is using for fines recovery. So maybe that should have gone up above to the replacement. And then she wants double monitors for the computer. The laptop doesn't need one, and then 2 phones. So that would just be for the new staff. Under facilities, we are going to add another wireless access point at the Justice Center. A lot of times their staff is downstairs and don't get connectivity, but they still need to use their phone. So this will help out with that. So there won't be as many blind spots for them. And, you know, after hours when it's dark, that's especially important, but there are not very many people in the building and they need to contact somebody. So under IT, we need to replace 2 additional access points at the Justice Center plus maintenance, so that would be about $3,300. We do have a storage NetApp replacement in the CIC. What we do with that, just so you're aware, so we replace all the storage devices at the admin building. This is our main data center every 3 years. So we take that 3-year-old device and then we take it to HSC. which is our backup data center. So every time we buy a new one, at any given time, you've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old at the end of the replacement. So I think getting 6 years out of a NetApp is pretty good. I kind of balked against replacing them so frequently. When I first came here, we had a 4-year-old NetApp, and I saw that the maintenance, the new renewal for the maintenance was like $50,000. And I'm like, well, you could almost buy a new device for that. And so the salesperson had to walk me through it. This is what NetApp's policy is, that they want you to refresh your hardware. They want to keep you up on the latest and the greatest. So that's why they increased the maintenance so terribly, to push you toward buying new hardware. I know. I just rolled my eyes. I don't like putting things in landfills. So that's why we came up with the rotation, so that we could at least keep one for 6 years and then only have maintenance on the new one. So if the old one goes down, we still have the information on the new one. Paging system is this year. I kept it in there in case we don't spend the money. We need to replace the UPS units at HSC and the admin in both of our two data centers. We got a quote. It's going to be about $35,000. And those things last forever. Nobody even remembers when we replaced them last time. So hopefully this is a long-term investment. And then the 5-floor switches that I mentioned earlier that we have to replace. Usually with a switch, we can get 10 years out of them. So we have seven that are borderline, but 5 that are definitely over the 10 years. So we need to replace those, and probably next year we'll do the other 2.
Can you go back to the paging system, Barb?
Sure.
This year is the Justice Center, but I know you changed it to just have that discussion. You didn't put anything in the budget for HSC or admin, because we don't know where the Justice Center paging system is going to end up yet. Mm-hmm. But the intent is to look at the other 2 buildings after that one gets installed.
And what I'm hoping, what we've seen so far, the quotes that have come in, they're much lower than the $30,000 that I budgeted for. I put a zero here in case we could also do HSC this year with that budgeted money. So I wanted to keep it in there as a placeholder. And then under the sheriff's office, they've asked for a racked computer for the squad room. This is similar to what we've done in the IT conference room. And this will just be a small one-unit computer that goes on a rack on the wall that they can manage their projector with and not have to have a computer sitting on the floor that people are tripping over the floor.
Yeah, they've got something
in their budget.
Yeah.
Well, Gary sent me this, so I don't know why he put it in his budget.
Okay, so we know
his was much. His was much.
I think it was more expensive.
Yeah. I have to look
well. They had a small computer around this, or maybe it's
$100 or $200.
It was the laptop they wanted.
That's what I remember.
Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about.
They wanted to redo that, but it was a lot larger cost, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they had the laptop, and it looked like it was an Apple laptop at $1,700.
Well, if it was a tough book, they're probably around that. He didn't say anything to me about that. Maybe I should check with Gary.
Yeah, check to what else he had.
This may be a duplicate of purpose.
I'm trying to remember where it was at.
Yeah, it's 178. The computer for squad room presentations.
He's got that.
Oh, yeah, this is the same thing.
And then,
Then what was the laptop then for? I thought, because I got...
I thought it was like for the conference and not the squad room.
Got it. Thank you.
But I'm not positive. I think they said
they wanted to have something that was consistent.
Yes, because they said outside people come in and do it, and they wouldn't have outside presentations in the squad room.
Could you check on that, Barb?
He didn't ask about the conference room. He asked about the squad room. I wouldn't...
The discussion was the laptop was for the squad room because they have people coming in there. Right now we bring our own laptops and we plug in.
So they want squad room.
It was squad room.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we'll check.
But it's 700. I was thinking it was more. Oh, the Podium House computer. That was $1,500.
Thank you. Okay. So they didn't have an actual.
What page you?
178.
Oh, yeah. So they've got 2 items. They've got the computer for the squad room presentation and then the podium to house the computer at $1,500.
Oh, yeah, that's way too much money. I'll talk to Gary.
Okay.
So what's the board's preference? Where do you want to leave that? In IT budget or?
I think it's IT budget.
So the reason I'm saying this is, should it come out of the IT budget? And if it should, then we just need to tell the sheriff, okay, we're going to take this out of the IT budget.
Has not the policy been, Barb, help me out here, the policy's been if they want it in the same year and it was unbudgeted, they've got to pay for it. But all that are going into the next year's budget goes through you, correct?
Yes, if we get the request in time to put it in our budget, we definitely prefer that. So then we can keep track of the maintenance, the age, make sure it's updated. Otherwise, what I've asked people, if you want something in the middle of a budget, and if you have money to pay for it, fine. Otherwise, wait till next year. But then let us know so that we can put the maintenance in our budget the next year to make sure it's all updated.
So you're asking should it be in the IT budget, and from what it sounds like it should be.
Yes, I would prefer
that. My question is the podium. Is that not that's not really IT equipment?
No.
I think he's thinking rack mounted. He's thinking it's going in the podium, which it's not.
Okay.
That's my
It's more like the rack that's on the down in the IT conference room.
Right.
Is that
on our wall? Yes.
Okay.
So I will talk to Gary about that and see what he has in mind.
Thank you.
And the last item I added was just $400. I'd like to replace some of the pictures in our office. They've been there for 20 years. So I may do that. I may not.
The question on that one comes up to public purpose. So I'm going to turn to Lisa Markley here, who's dealt with this in various issues for a long time. Is some wall decor a public purpose? Well, I mean, you're saying we paid for those. Okay, thank you. Never mind. I have no further questions. That was my only one.
The one thing I would say is typically office equipment line item, which is what this is for anything over $500. Office supplies is for under $500.
Okay.
So, while I understand, even though I put a question mark there too, while I understand what you're talking about, I would assume that it's going to be out of office supplies line item.
Okay.
And this is for the office, like the main office, not individual.
No, it's the entry where you walk.
Typically what I see is individual offices. We bring our own.
Well, right.
You know,
right.
But like entrance signage and stuff like that. So you're wanting to move that to the office supply line?
Yeah.
So one thing that I have, I think, I just want to verify that we included in this year's budget, we just haven't done anything with, was sound, the upgrade in here, and we got quotes all the way from 2,000 to 14,000. Barb, you brought that from the, about what are we going to do about kind of the audio situation here. I still have it on my desk waiting. We never really heard back. We haven't given you feedback to bring it forward again. Is that still in the fiscal year 20 budget?
I don't believe there's anything in the fiscal 20 budget.
Okay. I thought I had sent something, an email to you when you'd asked us about budget.
We're going to have a discussion here because the email was sent after the budget was submitted.
Okay.
So we need to have that discussion whether you want to reestimate anything increase because it wasn't – the email I got was December 9th, which was the day budgets were due to the auditor.
Okay, thank you.
So I did recommend that we just have that discussion here if you want to reestimate it, if we want gooseneck.
All right. So
and I think you said it was like 11,000.
The quote on the other piece of paper, we went from 14,000. A low of we thought maybe 2,000 to adjust and maybe deal with the problem with the sound and it going on to the audio. And then the high was, you're right, $11,000. So, we got a range on that.
So the audio is still bad? I've not watched any of the videos. For a while.
Yeah, still, it's not as bad since they turned up, but it still is not the quality, it's not that we get high volume in listening to part of that. And Sandra, before Leanne left, and I'm trying to remember if we had a discussion, was she still laying in the audio off of Shelley over the video again?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I never heard it got fixed. Yeah, I did not receive any confirmation that it got fixed. So whether we put a placeholder in here now, okay, but it's an incredible waste of time for the intern and or somebody down in your department or Leanne to spend that time to have to lay the audio in on top of the video again. And yet it's a service we've consistently offered to our taxpayers who, if they did want to go in and watch the video, and especially since Leanne and the interns have been putting in the PowerPoints, inserting them afterwards or whatever. So we're providing something of use beyond and content beyond what just the audio provides. So the discussion then becomes, you know, for me at least, to put the $11,000 in as a placeholder, and if we ended up deciding not to do that when Barb brings it back before us again, and that should wait until Leanne comes back, so Leanne can give us an update, I would think, on, you know, what exactly is happening, then we can always not proceed with it.
Do you want to put it under Board of Supervisors for $11,000?
We can put it under Board of Supervisors.
For a re-estimate for FY20 or in an FY21 request?
Well, Leanne, is it scheduled to be back, what, mid-February? Okay. So my thought is under 20, fiscal year 20, because if, let's say, she comes back March or whatever, we find out the process is still onerous, then Barb can go back and update the quote that we got, and then we can take a look at it still in 20 about what does it take to fix it if it needs to be fixed.
And so you're anticipating it still be installed in 20?
That would be up to what Barb could get back to us with, having learned last time around.
Well, I know Leanne hadn't met with, was it Joel? To go over that process, was there an easier, do you remember? I know Leanne had taken care of it, so.
Yeah, I didn't hear if she met with Joel, and he showed her what he did, which was a lot easier than what she was doing with the Adobe Creative Cloud. Mm-hmm. He has a little shareware thing that he uses, so she was going to go back and try it, and then I checked back with her, and she said she hadn't had time yet. So that's where I left it.
So, yeah, how about we put it in under Board of Supervisors for fiscal year 20. I understand what you're saying about it will be up then to, if we proceed all the way through, to then find out, depending on what we pick, when the vendor's available, right? We'll go through the same process as we went through when we did the update before.
And we've got a lot of projects kind of piling up in the spring, so I'm not even sure if the vendor's available, if we will be.
So maybe fiscal day, you said 21 is really probably more realistic.
I think that's a better realistic estimate. At least then we'd be prepared to, right at the start of it, be able to jump in on it.
Okay.
So putting in $632.52 for 21?
For
$11,000.
So 21 budget?
21?
Yeah.
But it sounds to me like there's a simpler solution that might knock that out of there, so we don't have to do
that. Well, $11,000 is for installed camera solution.
To actually, and then have it just so there was no need to meld anything. There was just the camera. It would feed right into the audio system, and it would be, so $11,000 is your top range to actually just take care of the camera, too. And then back at the other is just, we need to have it come back, I think, with the updated information to determine what actually ends up being the most cost effective for the time period. It's probably good in a way now. Sandra's having to go ahead and activate it and turn it off, and, you know, and as we get various interns who might have various skills. So, yeah. Okay. Great thing. So we've just put in the $11,000 on the 4 to 6 sizes.
Is there any other questions,
Boyd? I have none. Does anybody have other questions?
Good time.
You have any questions to us, Barb, or anything?
Nope.
I was glad I was able to explain it in terms you could understand and follow along. And
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.